Hello and welcome to the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Daryl, and of course is joining me, Jeremy.
What's up, man?
What's up? I know you're feeling a little out under the weather right now, so.
Under the bottle, I guess you could say.
Under the bottle, yeah. I'm a little more on theme. This single episode week, kind of a weird week. You know, we had a Tuesday night game, no Thursday. And Jeremy's on a little different hour, so changing it up again on you. But we're going to talk about the week six previews, catch you up on the latest news, injuries that we have going into the week. Please remember to reach out to us on social, like, share, and rate the podcast on your favorite application or listening platform. As always, the podcast is free. Tell your friends. And then, hit us up on our socials to give us input so we can deliver some content that you want to hear. I know you're in recovery mode, so I don't think you're drinking much else but water.
A lot of water.
I was going to grab a beer, but I just didn't want to, so.
Nice.
Yeah, we're getting, speaking of drinking, getting that take a shot in here last second on our outline. Looks like we're going to talk about Le'Veon Bell. So, once again, Le'Veon Bell gets brought up. Probably going to see quite a bit of it, especially with his signing. We'll obviously get in the news real quick. Drink. Kind of the bigger news, obviously, just already said it, but Le'Veon Bell was cut by the Jets and then has now subsequently been signed by Kansas City. And I know, Jeremy, you were saying there was a timeline as far as when he can play.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but somebody was saying that it was probably Schefter, but he was saying that likely his first game is week 8 against the Jets. So that'll be fun to watch. Hopefully he just destroys everyone on that team, proving them wrong for treating them the way they did.
Yeah, maybe that will lead Gase to get fired, because certainly not the first coach fired at this point.
Wouldn't that be something? He goes, they play them, Bell just destroys them, and then Gase gets fired because of that.
Yeah, basically like, oh, you let Bell go, and yeah, it's the realization that maybe Gase is the problem
Right, look at what a real coach has done with him.
Or with all your other players that have been under you that underperformed are now doing much better. So,
yeah, the list just keeps getting longer and longer.
Yep, we'll see. Fired coaches. Dan Quinn got fired. Certainly was on our list. Not in the order we had it, for sure. I think we're down to Gase, and then who else? Zimmer. Were we talking maybe Zimmer?
Gase.
He might have saved himself.
Gase. Zimmer.
Well, yeah, Gase, Zimmer, Quinn, and then I forget his name. O'Brien.
Yeah.
Was on the list, I think. So. Yeah, we're getting there. We got two to go, I guess.
Yeah. Last man standing.
Yeah. More COVID news, it seems. We'll see where this one goes. Not a huge deal, but slight scare. Colts got a false positive. But the Patriots did have a positive test Friday. I didn't see any details on it. I just got the headline. Slightly concerning that those two teams are out of buys. Like, the scheduling will be either really tight or really interesting going forward if they gotta miss another.
Yeah, I've seen some interesting ideas about how they would handle it if one of these teams that's already had a bye has another week where they can't play because of COVID. Like, just saying if they could possibly forfeit or turn it into like week 18, week 19 situation. But I mean, like, the NFL just shuts down for 2 weeks to rid itself of COVID and then picks back up, which that would suck.
Yeah. You know, and I almost say what you do is, you know, it's as the season progresses, you say, okay, we kick it to week 18. All right. And at week 18, if you say it's, well, just because we know they won't be playoff contenders, but, you know, Jets and Bengals, right, have to play or something, right?
Right.
They're like, you guys just take forfeits because there's no reason for you to be playing almost, other than like game paychecks and stuff, you know? Maybe you have to work that out with the NFLPA and stuff, but like, kind of like, what's the point, guys? Like, you don't want to get injured. You probably just want to get paid. You know, like, we're just going to, teams will take the forfeit, you know, and be done. So that's my take. Who knows? Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense, but I just think there's too much money involved in putting these games out for them to just say, hey, you're not playing.
I mean, I agree. I really don't want to watch Jets Bengals, though. So.
No, who even knows?
Though I think that's already happened. So
besides those teams' fans. I mean, I have kind of liked watching the Bengals this year, just seeing Burrow and Higgins.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, I can agree on that. Yeah,
the Jets I could do without for sure.
Yeah, long-term dynasty potential for sure. Yeah. Injuries.
Did we hit the Colts false positive there?
I did. I hit that first just to get it out of the way because it's kind of like, yeah.
And I saw that Nick Saban tested positive, and then it came back that he tested negative later, like a couple days later. So that's probably another false positive there.
I mean, yeah, potentially.
Not NFL, but
paid it off.
Football related. Yeah.
You know, Alabama and the sponsors probably did whatever they could
to make that
go away. So
he got that Regeneron.
Yeah. Maybe it was something else, but anyways, there was one they said that they didn't actually work. By the WHO, but maybe I don't think it was Regeneron, but anyways,
okay.
Off topic, kind of.
Sorry.
No, it's cool. Week 6 injuries. As we all know, I did not see the footage and I haven't really looked it up. Dak Prescott, leg got basically destroyed.
Terrible. Don't watch it.
Yeah. I have not. I saw ESPN, but they had it all blurred out, so I can't really tell. So
they blurred it out, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah.
His foot was just kind of flopping on the end of his leg. So.
Yeah, they're like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe he can return, but I was like, they're like, oh, it's like 6 to 8 months. I was like, this dude ain't coming back this year. Just put him on IR, be done with it. Like,
yeah.
Don't even play around. I think we kind of saw this coming. It was funny. So last week, I know we didn't get to do the recap or anything, but I had started, Madison out of desperation in a running spot, and then Cook ended up getting injured and it paid out well for me. So yeah, it was kind of bad. So,
I kind of had a scenario like that too with Taysom Hill. I had to start him in the league, a super flex league, and he ended up getting a touchdown, so that was nice.
Yeah. But looks like Dalvin Cook will be out again. So if you don't already have Madison, sucks to be you, I guess. Yeah.
But fire him up because he's
yeah.
Shown that
yeah,
he
if
can
you
produce.
Got him. Yeah. Yeah. No, he's a bigger Cook in my opinion.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah. My favorite name of the year so far, Mo Cox is out. Really didn't do anything last week, so he's still going to be probably an up and down player. But he's out. As with everybody on the Eagles, DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey are out. And then, definitely what I think both of us think, even after his breakout week last week, Deontay Johnson's out, so fire up Chase Claypool, as you would say.
And yeah, I mean, it's the only thing that excites me about Johnson being out. But yep,
yeah.
Chase Claypool, I think he's probably the one that benefits the most from Johnson being out. As you saw last week, I mean, Johnson went out pretty early, and then Claypool just was beasted on everyone.
Yeah, and I would say a fairly favorable matchup this week as well. for him. Obviously, we'll get into that. But, yeah, definitely excited. I kind of wish I had more shares of Claypool. I kind of came on to him a little late into the.
I gave you one.
Yeah, no, you did. Yeah, I think that's the only one I got. But I think by then it was, you know, that was obviously a trade. I think most of my drafts were done. So, you know, dynasty-wise, I never either never got him. He was on my list, but I just never got him or what would happen. So it didn't have to work out. So
did you listen to the podcast? You should have been all over him, Daryl.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I talked about him quite a bit.
You sold me on him. So, and that's what led to trying to get him in trades. But be going to be pricey now, that's for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, going to the game previews. Sounds like first we're going to start off with the Bengals versus Colts. Colts 7.5-point favorites and over under of 46.5. I'm going to take the Colts and the under.
Agreed. I don't see these teams putting up a lot of points in this game, with the Colts defense being awesome and their offense not being all that great.
Yeah, and the best part is it's been awesome against bad teams, and the Bengals are a pretty bad team. So
yeah, and then freaking Burrow gets destroyed every week, regardless of the defense. So
yeah, I wanted to look to see how this stood in comparison, but sacked 22 times. He got sacked 8 times in one game. Like if you guys are gonna let him get sacked that much, just put somebody else in. Just bench him for the rest of the year, just so he doesn't get killed. Right. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a couple names here in this game that are important or not. Something I wanted to bring up, and I kind of discussed this with you, and we'll see how this works and how it goes. So keeping with the drinking theme, we wanted to have kind of way to do a start sit kind of ranking. Like, you know, sometimes we just kind of gloss over, like, oh yeah, you're starting blah 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 blah, whatever. So in an effort to make it more clear or more obvious, I came up with a cheesy way to kind of do this. Basically, the ranking system is cheer. So, you know, like when you cheer at the bar and take drinks and et cetera. Basically, it's 0 to 3, but you'll never hear a 0. So if someone has a 0, I'm not even going to bring up their name. Now, I might have a 0, and Jeremy might have a 1 or whatever on that player. There could be that, but I'm not even – if it's a 0, it's not even getting included. So basically 0, I'm not even daring start. A 1 is I'm probably starting in desperation or because I have to. A 2 is I'm starting – I feel okay with it. And 3 is, I'm starting no matter what. Yeah, must start no matter what. Have a big game. And players can go from 0 to 3 and 3 to 0, you know, on matchups and all that stuff.
I think even if it's, I see, like you wrote cheer on one. I think even if it's a one cheer, it would be cheers. Like, I think the action of cheersing is with an S.
Okay. Well, alert people, don't write or DM Jeremy if you have fucked up grammar. So, yeah. Yeah, no.
Nerd alert.
Yeah. But anyways, so for me, just quickly, the Bengals only have one 3 cheers player. So that would be a must start. And that's Tyler Boyd. He seems to produce no matter what, and pretty much he's not really the only thing going on that team, but he's probably the number one fantasy asset on that team.
I'd have to agree there.
Sounds great. Next up, I got the next two that are – this is partly matchup on Mixon, but Mixon and Higgins would be a 2 cheers type of player for me this week. That Colts, as mentioned, have a pretty decent defense, so I think they'll be able to slow down Mixon. And I think Higgins will still produce, just don't expect a blowout game. And then, to me, Burrow is barely startable at this point. Hasn't really proven a lot. And, yeah, just kind of like what we talk about, kind of getting killed back there. So,
yeah, outside of like some garbage time production, I don't really see him doing a whole lot in this one.
Yeah. Speaking of not doing a whole lot either, Rivers and Taylor on the other side are the only really two that I thought were even remotely startable.
Rivers has been pretty awful.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we talked about some other players being kind of maybe washed up. Rivers might be up there on that list. So Rivers gets a one cheers, and then Jonathan Taylor, he seems serviceable. You're still waiting for consistent, huge production. But he's considering where you take him, and he's been serviceable, he gets a two cheers for the week.
I think I'd give T.Y. one cheers in this one.
One cheers.
He had a pretty decent game last week. I mean, comparatively, played 95% of the snaps, most he's played all year, and then 6 for 69. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Bengals are horrible, so there is that one. All right. My leg is asleep. You want to start the next one?
You're going to wake it up while I do this.
I'm trying.
Lions, Jaguars. Jaguars, 3.5-point dogs in this one at home. Over under 54. I'm going to take the Jags and the under on this one. I see Daryl's taking the Lions and the under. I don't, just a gut feeling. I have no idea why. I just think the Lions are, I mean, both these teams aren't very good, but I could just see that I give Jags the bump just being at home with the 3.5 points.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of with some of these first, as I was doing some of these, I was like, oh man, these are just horrible again. But, yeah, the Jags just have seemed so inconsistent and just unable to beat the easiest of teams at times, you know, hit or miss. And I just think the Lions can pull it out. They'll just figure it out. Good enough, so that's why I took the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, to your comment about the Lions being just kind of they're hard. I mean, I guess if it was easy, everybody'd be a professional handicapper. But yeah, it is hard to make these bets for sure. And then you go back. I went back and looked at a lot of ours just because we were trying to keep a tally, you know, and just to see how many games come out like within a half point of what the line was is insane.
Oh, wow.
How like great Vegas is at doing this. I guess they'd go out of business if they weren't great. But.
Yeah. They don't do this for charity. That's for sure.
Right.
I definitely did not win any bets last week. So they got a good amount of my money and Mike's money. And yeah.
They would have had a lot of mine if I had made any bets too. So.
Yeah. So, you know, Chark still is part of the question for me and the Jags as well. So if he's healthy, you know, I think that changes kind of how that team performs. So I'm getting a little nervous about him just being able to stay healthy this year. Not necessarily overall long-term dynasty wise. I still really like him. It just seems like one of those years or it's just not really working out, you know?
Yep. Sometimes it's hard to shake that injury bug for sure.
Yeah, so mostly pretty much all the big names in this game on the Jack side, Minshew, Robinson, Chenault, coming around on him for sure, and Chark, if healthy, little asterisks there, are all two-cheers players.
Yeah. I just saw this on Twitter. Congratulations to the Chark family. They're expecting a baby.
Oh, okay. Oh,
nice. One day ago, DJ Chark tweeted that out, so.
All right. Well, maybe he'll go out and destroy. So maybe I'm gonna I should update this to a three cheers here.
Maybe you never know. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't think that shit like that happens, but it seems like if there's a big life event in a player's personal life, it translates to the field a lot.
Yeah, they do like a dedication kind of game mentally or something. And
you know he's going to want to like score a touchdown so he can do like a rock and the baby celebration or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So might if he's, you know, no questionable tag or something going to the game, I might give this a 3 cheers on Chark. But pretty much everybody in this game is a 2 for me. Your starting room, maybe not feeling great about it, or you don't really have any better options for me, even at both sides of the ball. And yeah, as I said, a 0 means I'm not going to talk about him. I don't want to talk about a Lions running back. So I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one for sure. Yeah, I'm staying as far away from that backfield as I can. 6 feet. 6 feet, bro.
6 feet. COVID distance from the Lions backfield.
Yeah, I think Hockenson's probably a borderline 3 for me. I think the Jaguars are 25th in points allowed to tight ends. So.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, he was kind of like a borderline player for me, you know?
Yep.
It's kind of one of those, if he, you know, will he have a good week or not kind of things. And I just didn't have enough to push him over the top to a must start.
And I just traded for him in a couple weeks, so I'm kind of rooting for him.
Yeah, a little biased maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Made a lot of trades last night.
Yeah. No. Getting wild. That's
don't that drink and does. Trade. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thrilling matchup.
This where were you, by the way? Like, this should be like an advertisement. Friends don't let friends drink and trade.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we can make that T-shirt happen, though. You didn't text me. I thought I texted you. I didn't hear anything from you, but maybe I'm wrong. But yeah. Plus, opposite ends of the time zone, so
yeah,
it doesn't. I was probably sleeping. To be honest. Anyways, Falcons versus Vikings. Vikings 4-point favorites, over under 54. For me, you know, this could go either way. I think after Dan Quinn getting fired, just like we saw in Houston, I think some for whatever reason that inspires the Falcons to win a game.
Light a fire.
Think, yeah. They had been kind of slumping offensively. I'm taking the Falcons in the over. I think Vikings will be competitive. Falcons are just that bad on defense. But, take the Falcons in over.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you on this one, but no big deal. I think it was kind of a toss-up for me too, but go with the Vikings just being the home team. Both these defenses have looked absolutely just terrible, and the Vikings are surprisingly terrible. I thought they were going to be okay, or at least pretty decent this year, especially after adding Ngakoue on the line, but just hasn't worked out for him so far. But yeah, it's going to be Vikings in the over for me.
Yeah, if this had been a regular season with a full stadium, I probably would have definitely leaned to the Vikings.
Yeah. I mean, the Falcons already firing their coach. Like, I could, this could be like a, they might not win a game. I mean, I don't know. They can't stop anybody on defense. And some weeks, I mean, a lot of times their offense is just not clicking, even with all their weapons.
Yeah. And you would think with some of these names, it would be pretty good. But I do think. I mean, Ridley did have a bounce back last week, but for me on the Falcons side of the ball, I got 2 3 cheers, and that's gonna be Ryan and Ridley. I mean, Ridley is kind of a given, I think, but I think the Vikings defense and just a bounce back game from Ryan is in order, and with that, you know, obviously, I think Ridley is going to be the main focus of most of the passing.
Yeah, I would think so. First few weeks, it's looked that way. I mean, can't really expect much when you're playing the Green Bay Packers, but I mean, yeah. That's just a down week for everybody. But yeah, I'm a little more lukewarm on Ryan, so I'll give him two. I mean, he just some of the. I mean, you know, like I think I watch a little more than you do. I know you're. We've talked about you being the numbers guy, and I tend to just go off a field and watching the games and seeing these guys. But Ryan, sometimes the ball just seems like it comes out of his hand weird, and I haven't really noticed that about him in the past. It's just not getting everything behind it. I don't know what's going on there. But.
Yeah, I definitely fall prey to the just watching the red zone and stuff. So, yeah. You know, you only see the good stuff or the really bad stuff. So.
Yeah, maybe he's just getting old. Another one of these guys is getting up there in age. I mean, he's not too terribly old. I think he's the same age as Rodgers, right? Or a year younger.
I think he's just 1 year younger. Yeah.
But, I mean, sometimes age catches up with guys faster than others, too. So.
Yep. Someone I think are two players that age is probably hitting up on. I have two cheers on the Falcon side of the ball. Jones, Gurley, and Russell Gage. Russell Gage is second in targets. So it goes Ridley, Gage, and then Jones. So that was kind of interesting to me. I think they'll still have productive days, but I think the days of being, especially for Jones and Gurley, days of number ones are gone.
Sporadically, I mean, you'll probably see Jones and Gurley put up some good weeks, but yeah, consistent like back to back weeks for
several weeks
in a row. I don't see it at all.
Yeah, for me, we've talked about this sometimes, and at some point, I think I thought about doing it at the quarter way, but maybe we'll do it the halfway. Just saying, trade targets for longer term, or maybe for me. If I had Jones or Gurley, I'm trying to sell. And I know the ones I have Gurley in, he's serviceable as a running back right now, for sure, as you mentioned. But, I probably should be looking to maybe his next big game to sell him, and especially if I'm not contending.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna bring up. Your trade decision is going to come down to whether you're actually in contention or looking to the future, So.
Yeah,
contending team, I would probably hold on to him unless you can get another good running back, which no one's probably going to give it to you right now. So. Gurley is number 11 half PPR for a running back so far.
I know he's got some couple of scores, so that definitely helps. The only player I have cheers. Is Hurst. I just not believing yet, so, and I'm pretty sure I have better options, so.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think me and a lot of others had high hopes for him in this offense. I mean, he's better athlete than Hooper, and Hooper just ate in this offense, basically, and Hurst just hasn't seen it yet, and maybe could be what I was talking about earlier, Ryan falling off a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was coaching. Dan Quinn's gone, so. So the Falcons are just that bad. I gave Jefferson, Madison, and Thielen all threes for this week. Surprisingly, you would think I would give Cousins a three based on that, but nah, Cousins got a two for me this week. I think the Vikings can get it done. I just don't think you have a, four touchdown day from Cousins or yeah. 400 yards or something crazy.
He gets
like
two
that.
Cheers just for being a nerd. I'm right there with you, buddy, on all of those for sure.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm key up Madison. All right. Should be a fairly short one, I believe. The football team versus the Giants. Giants 2.5 point favorite, over under 43. Looks like we're both in agreement on Washington actually winning this one. And the over. My only question is, I didn't dig into this. Do you know who the starting quarterback's going to be for Washington?
Kyle Allen. Yeah, Rivera said he was going to start. So.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, doesn't necessarily change my thoughts too much. I know it wasn't Haskins, but I still think Washington can kind of pull this one off. Nobody really were starting in any of this. For me, the only player out of both teams that gets more than a one is Terry McLaurin for now, until somebody else proves otherwise. The only note I really have is Gibson has a lot more of the targets on the Washington or the rushing attempts on the Washington side, but J.D. McKissick is getting a considerable amount of the targets. He's got more targets for sure.
Yeah.
So
for now,
It seems maybe in PPR McKissick might be a little more valuable.
Yeah. I do like Gibson's targets though. I mean, he's kind of ramping up the last couple weeks. Set 5 targets the last 2 weeks.
And yeah. That, not horrible. Just the watch out, I think. Everybody on the Giants side is just a one. Like, pretty much everybody in this game's a one. If you gotta start them, you're gonna end up drinking more than one cheer. But if you have to.
Yeah, Jones is another young quarterback that's just a victim of his terrible offensive line right now. You'd like to see the guy actually be able to throw the ball. I did see a stat that he was like in the top tier of guys that with on target throws, but he's just getting killed back there.
Oh wow, yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, especially a lot of people, I know a lot of people are taking him early, and we've talked about this, yep. Especially in our startup drafts. So
yeah, I traded Rodgers to you for him.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Just a 1 QB league, so not uber important, but still.
Definitely worked out in my favor. Yeah, it was a straight up trade there. Yeah. Yeah, I'll pay for it in like 4 years when he retires or something. So,
yeah, if Jones is still alive and playing football,
yeah, it does get destroyed. I don't have much to talk about that game.
Yeah, me either. That's about right. Wes Slayton could break a long one or something like that. McLaurin's probably gonna have 9 catches for 75 yards or something. So,
yep. Yeah, I think that's right on point. Next up, Ravens at Eagles. Potentially maybe a good fantasy game here for some of these players. Ravens, 7.5-point favorites, over under 46.5. Once again, I think we're in agreement. Ravens and the over.
Yep, that's what I got, man.
If only I could read it. Kind of interesting. I kind of like looking at this just to see how long some of these streaks keep going. So Ravens defense has had or gotten a turnover in every game so far. And the Eagles offense has turned over the ball in every game so far.
I definitely expect that to continue.
Yeah. So I was like, bold prediction. That's what's going to happen. it'll probably be a Wentz interception, unfortunately. But, for me, the biggest. Dang, did I put a. I might have been drunk on this. Maybe I reverse these. I'll just start with the Ravens. Any one of their running backs is a one to me. I'm not trying to start them anymore. The only runner that's worth anything there is Jackson. And I gave Jackson a 2 cheers because he just really hasn't been a passer this year.
He's been a bit underwhelming. For sure, especially the draft capital you spent on him.
Yeah, you know, I know it's super flex and everything, but you know, I had him, I got him at the third pick, and I ended up trading him away for Hilaire, like a first round and some other assets. So, I mean, I think I did okay with that trade as of right now. My team's not doing so hot, but you know, I've crap at, you know, quarterback, but whatever. Initially, I thought I had Brown as the three cheers, and then it looked like maybe I mistyped that and put Andrews. I'm actually going to leave Andrews as that three cheers. I think he will be the one that gets the touchdown out of those two. So I'm going to leave Mark Andrews at a three cheers and Brown at a two cheers for this game.
I like it.
Yeah. I was going to switch around, but it seemed almost too obvious. Eagle side of the ball. For me, it's pretty much two cheers all the way around, except for Wentz. I do believe Greg Ward or Travis Fulgham could definitely get some big plays and up their value for sure on this. But pretty much just two cheers all around. Ertz, Ward, Sanders, Fulgham. Any input?
Yeah, I agree with you on Wentz being like probably nothing really going on there against this defense. I mean, he's looked pretty bad anyway, but and I'd probably bump Ertz down to one cheers because he just has not looked like Zach Ertz this year.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of these guys, you know, and I'm in a majority of at least half point PPR, if not full. A lot of receptions. So they sit, kind of save their fantasy day based off receptions, you know?
Right.
And that's why, you know, somebody like, you know, Wentz or McLaurin can still have a two cheers, or, you know, Ward or whoever, Sanders specifically in this matchup, you know, because they're just going to potentially catch a lot of balls. And,
right.
And that doesn't help Wentz out at all.
Yeah, so. I mean, listen, Ertz, last 2 weeks, 5 targets, 4 receptions, 9 yards, 6 targets, 1 reception, 6 yards. It's like,
ouch.
What the hell's going on with this dude?
Yeah, he's, you would think, the veteran, most reliable player right now that's healthy, so.
Yeah. Pretty right. Wild. I think I'm league of record. I hold Ertz and Goddard, and I'm just waiting for Goddard to come back so I get some production. Man, yeah. Luckily I picked up Johnny Smith.
No, yeah, definitely worked out for sure. Game 6 of the weekend slate. Was that Bears Panthers? Panthers 1.5 point or 1 point favorites, over under 44.5. We got a couple of disagreements going on, but once again, both of us on the Panthers and the over. 44.5 seems low enough for the Bears to be able to help the Panthers score enough points. So,
yeah, always like want to see the Bears lose. So,
yeah. Now that I factor that into my thoughts, definitely taking the Panthers. I wasn't even looking at that. I was being objective at this point. But
the Bears? What's Bears undefeated?
No, they're not.
the Packers would be the only undefeated team in the North, right?
Yeah. So that's just kind of interesting. It seems like there's plenty of scoring going on in Carolina right now, but maybe not as much as we thought. Christian McCaffrey still leads all other players, not including Bridgewater, in touchdowns.
Jesus.
So he has four total touchdowns. The only person that has the second place person, I guess, is Mike Davis with 2 receiving touchdowns. Wow. So like all the rest, everybody else has like 1 touchdown. Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, all those guys, 1 touchdown. So they're producing without touchdowns. So Bridgewater has only six TDs. And then I think that's just passing. So I'm sure he has like two rushing, I think. A third of his touchdown passes, which is pretty easy math, but is to Mike Davis. So
just saying, go grab the Panthers kicker if you play kickers.
Yeah, I mean, they're scoring points at least lately. So just thought that was kind of interesting that, you know, McCaffrey's been out for a little bit and still leads as far as like touchdowns between all skilled players.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. With that, Mike Davis has been killing it. Him and same with Robbie Anderson. Those are must starts for me. Three cheers. After that, I mean, you know, if it comes down to just seeing more, some more touchdowns for more. For me, he would easily be a three cheers. If he just got a little bit more looks, and it definitely looks like Anderson's kind of taking over that number one role. And then Curtis Samuel pretty much is a if you have to for me. I know you're always been a little higher, so.
Yeah, I'm falling on him a little too. I mean, he's getting some carries with McCaffrey out, just like I kind of expected, but it's not really turning into anything.
Yeah, the Bears, not a lot there for me. Robinson is the obvious must start here. Three cheers. With that, it kind of comes a crapshoot after that. There's some potential value in Montgomery. Doesn't seem to be doing a lot in the running game, but getting involved in the passing game, so those receptions help. And then Graham, to me, seems pretty touchdown dependent, but both, you know, startable if you need to, kind of things.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham, four touchdowns so far this year, only 169 yards, but yeah, he's number seven, TE7 on the year so far.
Yeah, touchdowns always help make things better, value wise for some of these players that definitely aren't getting the yardage or the catches. So. And then, you know, I still got some love for my boy Miller. Kind of, he's getting working his way to a zero. He's at a one. We're sitting there with Foles.
We might not mention him next week.
Yeah, very, very well could fall off the face there. Just because he's still like, you know, the third in targets or something, or second in targets. I forget. He's right close to losing it out, but. You know, a little less production. Gonna be worried about him. So,
yeah, Foles has looked outside of the comeback in Atlanta. Foles has looked just bad. But they're still winning games somehow. So, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yep. I think they need to play some real teams. Basically, is what that comes down to. Tampa's probably the realest team they played.
Yeah, they somehow squeaked out a victory against them.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll get into it, but not too convinced Tampa's real either, but we will see. I think that does it.
Moving on. Broncos, Patriots. Patriots are 9.5-point favorites, over under of 44.5. I'm going to take Pats and the under. I just don't see the Broncos scoring many points at all. I could see the Patriots putting up about 30, 35 maybe, but yeah. I don't know. I just don't expect much from the Broncos at all.
Totally with you. And it's looking like Noah Fant could potentially be out. You know, I guess breaking-ish news. Gordon got a DUI. So potentially, I don't know how that's going to affect his game time.
Yeah, I think his arraignment's like middle of November, so I don't think they usually dole out any punishment from the league until after that.
Yeah, typically. And maybe the team will take a first step for sure.
Apparently he has an illness too. So
yeah, that's what I had saw, that he had an illness, but maybe his illness was a hangover.
I would I'd expect Lindsey to be heavily used if he's out, though. I mean, Lindsey's going to be back for this game.
Just in general, pretty much everybody in this matchup, including maybe Lindsey would get a little bumpy. I'm still not going to, give him like a 3 or anything in this matchup. Either way, it's all 2s pretty much all around. They're startable, but you don't feel good about any of this personally. And on both sides of the ball, and then I'm not starting really any Patriots running back. Well, I mean, I would if I have to, kind of, so it's a one cheers type of situation. Just that's just never resolved. Never know who's going to do what in that. So, but yeah, Lindsey, especially if Gordon's out, I agree.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I wouldn't be like super excited about starting either one of these running backs if Gordon is in there. We talk about the Patriots defense all the time. They take one of your weapons away at least every week. So I would assume they're probably going to go after this backfield and just kind of make whoever's playing quarterback beat them with their arm.
Yeah, that's who's going to be playing quarterback is definitely part of that, and hasn't proven whoever's taking snaps for that team for Denver is really capable. I know Drew Lock seems to be back. At least that's what I saw. Don't know how solid that is.
Practiced in full all week, so I think that he's probably going to be playing. But.
Okay, yeah. I don't think that materially helps them at all. So, I think Gilmore's back in practice as well. So, one of the best cornerbacks in that game right now. So, back on the team. So,
yep,
definitely. So,
I would think that he'll probably be on Judy.
Yep.
I think I'd probably bump Cam up to a 3. I think he's going to come out and just have a good game. Having sat out that week, and if Cam goes, I think Edelman will too. And
yeah, I would say, yeah, Edelman could definitely be on the borderline there. With Cam, it's got to be more the rushing potential, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Don't really count on him to – throw a lot, especially in this game. I think they'll probably be up for most of the game, if not all the game. So,
yeah, despite maybe a opening field goal by the Broncos, I don't see that. that's about all I have.
Texans, Titans. Titans are 3.5-point favorites, over under 53. And This spread seems very low to me. 3.5 points for the Titans that just dismantled the Bills, and the Texans just kind of suck. But yeah, I'll take Titans and the under on this one.
So we're on agreement. And when I started actually look at these, for our bets that we'll get on recap as far as what we're gonna take, at the second half of games. I saw that and I was writing it down. I was like, is this really the line? Cause I was like, I will take that. I'm going to log in. I'm trying to log into my app right now to get an actual line from, usually what I do is, I either just take them all straight from, my betting app here in Las Vegas, or I'll go to, Fantasy Pros to Betting Pros and grab stuff from there. So that might've been a Betting Pros one. Unfortunately, maybe this thing knows it's like near midnight and shouldn't allow me to log in to bet. So, cause it's not letting me log in right now, but, Titans, I want to say I'm saying under just cause I don't think the Texans are going to do enough. So, looks like I can't log in right now. So
yeah, I can see
that. I will check that later.
40-10. Score in this one or some shit like that. That's how mismatched I think these teams are.
Yeah, totally.
It is interdivisional, so you never know, but still, Titans are much better.
Yeah, and with that, kind of going into the kind of the start sit 'em kind of rankings on this, for me, and I'm actually going to start at the bottom on this, Corey Davis. I know there was some hint that maybe he was coming around, and I think that's pretty much dead. He's still on here at a one. I think probably next week he's probably going to be off of here. I know he's still there. He's still involved. He's still got a large amount of targets comparatively, but that was with Brown out. Otherwise, Tannehill, Henry, Brown, Smith, all three cheers, all starters against this matchup.
Yep, I have to agree. And like freaking Johnny, man, he's been a beast so far. So yeah, gotta like that guy. Corey Davis, is he over his COVID crap? I think he was on the COVID list.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not that it really matters, but.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a couple of Titans kind of get activated off that list this week, but wasn't a name that I saw. I probably would have caught that one.
Yeah, I think he may even be out completely. So,
yeah, I mean, he could be one of those guys. You know, every couple of weeks he does something, and you start him the next week, and he does nothing. So,
Seems like we may have been a little wrong about another Titans receiver. We talked about Brown being out, like. Till week eight, like you couldn't trust him until week eight, and he came back last week and balled out. So,
yeah, no,
I'm happy about that. I have him in a lot of places, so yeah, it's good to see for sure.
As we say, no money back guarantee. So, I think that does it for Titans. I think Tannehill could probably have another one of those like four touchdown days. You know, he's never really going to – he's not like a, you know, 500-yarder kind of guy, but he'll get you multiple touchdowns. So, and definitely doable against the Texans.
Yeah, this PG post-Gase Ryan Tannehill is pretty freaking good at playing quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, seems like quite a few people are better post-Gase.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
PG, for sure. Texans side of the ball, I know they had a better week last week, but against the woeful Jaguars, pretty much all two cheers for me, Watson, Johnson, and Cooks. Depending on what happens between if Aiken's out, Darren Fells. If not, Darren Fells probably drops down to one or zero. So it's kind of dependent on Aiken's. Aikens was out, and I believe Phil's got a TD last week, so he seems to be good for a random TD here and there. So, but potentially a decent day with Aikens out.
Yeah, the Jaguars defense is kind of like Oprah handing out prizes to her audience. So you get a TD, and you get a TD.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I have a Cobb here as a one. He's been NFL productive, you know, he's five catches, 60 yards or something. But what will save him fantasy wise is a TD, and there's potential for that this week.
Yeah, Cooks had a huge freaking game last week. I think 8 for 161 yards, somewhere around there.
Yeah, yeah. And then, crazy game.
Yeah, I mean, just reminder, it was against the Jaguars, but still. And, I'd say Fuller is a two cheers too. I think you probably just forgot to throw him in there.
Not much to be excited about
the Texans, but
yeah, and Fuller's kind of one of those, like, to me, it's kind of, and the whole general part of just the time or the Texans was how much do I trust any of them, and Fuller's more of a boom bust.
Yeah,
as is.
So. I only want to own him in best ball if I have to. So.
Yeah. Exactly, and I would definitely be more comfortable starting Cooks, if I was choosing between the two, obviously. So maybe, hopefully that trend continues from last week, and maybe we can trust the Texans a little bit more now.
Yeah, if I was a Cooks owner, I'd hope for another week like last week and just try to sell him, because I don't think there's long-term value there. at all.
Yeah, I think we're going to see almost kind of what Bill O'Brien was doing, is just a complete restructuring of that team and kind of trying to undo what he did with some of these signings and trades, and they'll never get back what he paid, but this could definitely change long term for that team.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's all there. Browns Steelers, big AFC North matchup. Steelers are 3.5-point favorites at home, over under 51. I'm going to take the Browns here. They've been playing really good football, 4 wins in a row, and take the over as well. I think it's probably be a high scoring game.
Yeah, this was a difficult one for me personally. You know, the Steelers aren't undefeated. They've looked good in pretty good in spurts. They haven't always looked good. And I'm just a Browns hater, so it just that puts me over the edge. So I'm taking the Steelers in the over. I think definitely over 51. It could easily go Browns. I acknowledge that, but yeah.
Even your Steelers fan roommate has some doubts. Yep. So
exactly.
I think he's kind of a pessimist as well. So
yeah, it's probably why I need to get into my own place a little bit. Maybe I'll not be quite such a pessimist, but definitely is. So it's definitely some good games here potentially. For me, I'm still way down on Mayfield, so for me that gives Mayfield and Landry one cheers. They're startable, personally, if you need to. Definitely not getting what you wanted out of either of those, I think, this year. Outside of Landry throwing a touchdown in a game, that was pretty nice, because I was excited because then Mayfield didn't get it, so we can have some more of that.
Yeah, Mayfield, I mean, they're not Stefanski's not really asking him to do a whole lot. So that's, I think the less he does, the better for him. So, yeah.
Well, that's probably why that's a winning team right now.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I'm getting at. Like, but, yeah.
Yeah. With that, I think that makes kind of Odell still at 2. Definitely kind of turned it on these last couple weeks. And then I think the only like must start on that team is Hunt. He's going to be involved in the pass game, lead, really only rusher there. So you got to like that, especially on a team that's basically, I think there was 2 weeks. It was close, but they're almost even close to 50-50 on total on yards rushing and passing, like being almost like similar.
Mm-hmm.
There was 2 weeks where they rushed for more yards than they passed for. So, if that says you anything.
Not surprising at all.
Yeah. So it's definitely all goes through the passing game. So nice. Hunt has to be used until he proves he can't do it, which I don't necessarily think will happen outside of a bad matchup. Yeah. Steelers side of the ball. I don't really believe in Browns defense either. I mean, it's more of a just kind of shit on them thing. Deontay Johnson being out, I think it's going to be all Claypool and Juju, which are must starts. And hopefully it's just not an overreaction on the Claypool side of things to last week. I don't necessarily think it is. Probably, I mean, 4 touchdowns, that's going to be hard to redo. But, you know, if 6 catches, 60 yards and a touchdown, you're happy. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't expect a repeat performance, but I think he's gonna probably have a good game this one, and then have some ups and downs. You know, as rookies do. That some of them, they call it the rookie wall. Like maybe at some point he kind of trails off towards the end of the season. I hope not, but he's a hell of an athlete, so I think he can probably keep it up. Just you can't expect 4 TDs every week, though.
No, definitely not. I mean, if we can get that. I will take that. No doubt.
Ebron, I see you got him down as a one. I'd probably bump him up to a two. The Browns are 27th against tight ends and points allowed. So I think Ebron has a chance to have a good game here.
Yeah, Ebron and Washington, it was more of a bet on Juju and Claypool having big games and those two getting lost in the shuffle kind of thing.
Washington's kind of lost in the shuffle permanently at this point with Claypool's emergence, Juju, and Deontay Johnson. It's going to take a couple injuries for Washington to gain relevance for me.
Yeah, I agree. And then the Browns aren't completely horrible against the run, so I could see Connor having an okay day. If you got maybe a better option, maybe look at it. But most people are probably still starting him. Yeah. I mean, he's been doing fairly decent lately.
Yeah, I don't. I'm thinking this is going to be an. I think that's how the Steelers win the game is through the air for sure. Like you were talking about Claypool and Juju and Ebron. If they start putting up points with like passing touchdowns and all this other shit, it's going to force Mayfield to actually have to do something. And that's how you beat the Browns. You put it in Mayfield's hands. So.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Pretty much does it for me, my man.
Yeah, that's all the early games. So.
Yeah. I think this time around, try and keep these a little shorter, as we talked about. We'll wrap this up at the early games so you can get these in, and then we'll get you the other episode so you have time to of course listen to us and get all the expert advice as far as that goes for the week, and hopefully help you out and win, because what do we say, Jeremy?
Remember, NFL players don't care about your fantasy team, but we do.
Yeah, exactly.